If you'll grab your Bibles, go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 144, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Psalms 144, verse 1. I want to share this word with you here this morning. I started sharing this word with some of the leadership team the other night, and I didn't finish it with them, but I think that this is a good word for us here this morning as a church. And here lately, we have been preaching on the last days and the end times, and we've been preaching on the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. We still got to review the seven bowls, and I have that message. I have that ready, and I'm going to be speaking that message probably next weekend. And but this morning, I feel like I want to take a break from the 21 judgments from the end times. And I want to just speak a word of encouragement, and also not only of encouragement, but a word that will strengthen you here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if I can get some more volume, amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Brian, amen. I always got to ask him for volume, amen. Don't be stingy with the volume, brother, amen. But this morning, amen, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Psalms 144, verse 1. And I want to share this word that I believe is a timely word for our church, for what we're going through here this morning. Also, want to welcome all those that are watching online. And also, if you're out here, I want you to go ahead and take a few moments to share this video. Share this video, start a watch party, because how many know we want to reach as many people as possible? Amen. We want people to hear the gospel. Amen. Hear the gospel, hear the word. Amen. Be encouraged. So take a few moments and go ahead and share this video on Facebook. It's on Facebook Live. We're also, those that are watching on YouTube, we welcome you also watching. Amen. We hope that you're blessed here this morning. And so again this morning, amen, it's good to be here. And we're excited what's taking place within the body of Christ, within the church. Amen. We want to welcome everybody here that's here in the parking lot. Amen. We want to thank you for coming out this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know that we're out here and it's a little warm, but we got to remember there's a hotter place. Amen. And on top of that, amen, where else could you go and hear the word and then at the same time burn a few calories? Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. So, amen, you're getting blessed here this morning. Amen. Tell your neighbor you're getting blessed here this morning. Amen. Psalms 144, verse 1 says this: Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you. I pray that you would just speak through me here this morning. Anoint my life. Lord, bless everybody that is here listening to your word online. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just have your way. We love you and we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all say amen. This year has been a difficult year for all of us. But it's important to understand that God is still in control. This year we have been tested mentally, physically, spiritually, and even in ministry. We've been stretched in our faith, in our finances, in our family, and even in our faithfulness. We've had to adjust to changes quickly and frequently. But the good news is that God is an unchanging God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. This tells me that despite what is going on around us, or even inside of us, He still loves us. He is still on our side. He has still called us, and He still has a plan and a purpose for our lives. The question for us to figure out is how do we fulfill that plan and purpose during these difficult times? The way we do this is by allowing God to guide us. And by allowing God not only to guide us, but to train us. We gotta allow Him to guide us and train us through this season. I want you to know that this is just a season that we're going through. Seasons come and go. The winter comes and then it goes and it turns into fall. The fall comes and then it goes and then it turns into summer. The summer comes and then it goes and then it turns into winter. We're going through a season right now, but this too shall pass. Somebody say amen. Tell your neighbor, this is going to pass. And God wants to guide us through this season, and God wants to train us through this season. Now, this is definitely a season of spiritual warfare. No doubt about that. But spiritual warfare is always taking place. Because the devil doesn't take a vacation. So there's always spiritual warfare that is going on. This verse says, "Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war." I want you to know that God is training you to be a warrior. Who's going to make it through this season? Warriors are going to make it through this season. Who's going to come out the way they went in? And what I mean by that are those that came into this pandemic praising, worshiping God, and those that are going to come out of this pandemic praising, worshiping God. Who is it going to be? It's going to be the warriors. It's going to be those that are going to allow God to train their hands for war and their fingers for battle. Now we must take this Old Testament verse in Psalms 144 and we must tailor make it for the church today. We got to tailor make it to us. See, we don't need God to train our hands to fight because we don't battle the same way. We don't battle by flesh and blood. Come on, somebody say amen. But our battle is against spiritual principalities and powers in high places. That's our battle, my friend. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And God is training us through this season how to make spiritual war. We can trust that in this season, God is training us for spiritual warfare. He's training us for what we're facing today. And this morning, there are three areas God is training us in, and they all have to do with our devotion. Somebody say devotion. The word devotion means love. It means loyalty. It also means enthusiasm for a person or an activity or a cause. That's what the word devotion means. See, in the church, whenever we see an enthusiastic person, we say that person's on fire. When we see somebody that's enthusiastic in praising God or enthusiastic in the Word, we say that that person is on fire for God. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit will get you excited and enthusiastic for God. Is anybody still excited for the things of God? Is anybody still excited to praise God? Is anybody still excited to worship God? I know it's hard for me to see your excitement because it's behind that mask. But behind that mask, I pray that you're smiling. Behind that mask, I pray that you still have the joy of the Lord. Behind that mask, I pray that you still have a fire from the Holy Ghost. Behind that mask, I pray that there's still the Holy Ghost working in your life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. The Holy Spirit will get us excited and enthusiastic. It has to do with our devotion. If our devotion ain't there, there won't be no fire. If our devotion ain't there with the Lord, there won't be no excitements. So this morning, I want to talk to you about these three areas that God is training us in that have to do with our devotion. The first area is our personal devotion to God. our personal devotion to God. Listen, you come here and we have corporate worship. But you should be having personal worship when you're not here. On Sunday morning, on Friday nights, we come and we have corporate worship. But listen, on Monday morning, you should have personal worship. On Tuesday morning, you should have personal worship. On Wednesday night, you should have personal worship. On Thursday lunchtime, you should have personal worship. So the first devotion I want to talk about is our personal devotion to Him. Listen, I want you to know that our number one weapon to make war against the enemy, to make war against a virus, to make war against depression, to make war against poverty, to make war against the things that try to steal our joy and steal our fire. Our number one weapon in this season is a personal fire and a personal excitement for God. See, only God will see us through this trying time. It is only God that's going to see us through the season. See, His will is that we be more than conquerors. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I hope you brought your Bible to church this morning. Do we still got a church that reads their Bible? Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 31. Give me a second there. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. The wind ain't helping me, but we'll get there. It says this: what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His only Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's will is for us to be more than conquerors. If we strengthen our personal devotion and keep it strong, we won't just barely make it through. We will be more than conquerors. God's will is not for you just to barely make it through. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be more than victorious. So how do we strengthen our personal devotion to Him? The way we do this is we got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to the basics and stick to those basics. What are the basics? Worship. We got to keep it simple. My pastor used to tell us, keep it simple, stupid. Listen, go back to the basics. Serving God don't got to be complicated. Stick to the basics of worship. Listen, it's easy to get distracted. Even out here in a parking lot praise service, we see the cars passing by, the train comes by and passes by. We see the ushers moving around. We see different things taking place. But we got to learn to stick to the basic of worshiping God. Not just in church, but at home. in your prayer time, in your alone time, when you're washing dishes, when you're doing chores around the house, when you're at your job, worship God. Worship God in your spirit. Sing unto the Lord. Make a beautiful noise unto the Lord. Worship God in your spirit. Stick to the basics of not only worship, but stick to the basics of prayer. Talking to God. Yada wadada. Get in there with the Lord in prayer. Stick to the basics. Stick to the basics of getting into your word and reading the word of God. Memorize scripture and stand on the word of God. It's already there. The blessings for you, my friend, are already there. They're in this book, but you got to get you a promise from God and you got to stand on it. Pray, learn to pray scripture over your life. If you listen, there's so many scriptures that deal with so many things. If you need wealth, there's verses on wealth. If you need health, there's verses on health. If you need God to do a miracle in your family, there's promises in scripture about your family. You got to pray those verses over your life. You got to get lost in worship. Get lost in worship. He wants to hear you worship him. For those that are watching online, they watch online. Listen, for you, if you've been watching online in our services, I have a question for you. Does God miss your worship? Because what happens sometimes, the only time some people worship is when they come to church, is when they come and they hear the worship team. But I hope that as you watch online that you're still worshiping the same way that you would worship if you were at the altar or if you were here in the parking lot, that you worship, that you lift up your holy hand, that you're just not right there in your bed, in your cama tirao. Right there just on your bed with your tarantaras on. Come on, somebody. You should still get up. Come on, get up off of your blessed assurance and worship God and lift up holy hands and sing unto the Lord. I don't care if you can't sing like Brother Jose or Sister Alexis or any of the singers on the worship team. God loves the way you sound, my friend. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to get lost in his presence. Get lost in worship. That's how you strengthen your devotion. That's how you strengthen your personal devotion between you and God. See, this is warfare right here. This is God training your hands for warfare. What else do you got to do to strengthen your personal devotion to God? If you speak in tongues, I said if. Because listen, some pastors, some teachers say, them churches that talk about speaking in tongues, that they're false doctrine. Nah, we are some tongue-talking, demon-stomping, Bible-believing Christians. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, that doesn't mean you're going to go to hell, that you're not saved. But if you're able to speak in tongues, if you have been blessed to be able to speak in tongues, then you better pray in that heavenly language. Pray in that heavenly language, because this will boost your faith and it will boost your spirits. There's so many times in prayer that I don't even know what to pray for. Oh, but I thank God for the gift of speaking in tongues. I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that when I pray in tongues, I may not know what I'm praying. I may not know how to pray. Oh, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groans and groans that we cannot even understand. So if you speak in tongues, pray in the spirits. If you don't speak in tongues, then continue to seek. Continue to ask God to baptize you, to give you that gift. But don't let it ruin your day. It's okay if you don't speak in tongues. Speak in the other tongue God gave you, the best tongue ever in the whole planet, Spanish. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my opinion. Amen. Pray in English. But if you speak in tongues, pray in that heavenly language. How do you strengthen your devotion? Listen, the way you strengthen your devotion is you have to find your niche in your devotion. You have to find your groove in your devotion with God. Find your niche in your devotion. Find your power spot in your devotion life. To some people, their devotion, their personal devotion is different. Your personal devotion may not be like my personal devotion. Find your niche in your devotion with God. Some of you might get a breakthrough while you're worshiping and fishing. Some of you might find your breakthrough while you're worshiping and praying in the Spirit and taking a walk outside. Some of you, you'll find your breakthrough when you hit your knees on that couch, and you'll get your breakthrough right there in that altar that you have at home. Some might find a breakthrough in your niche in your prayer walk, or your prayer, or some may find their niche when you pray alone. You probably can't, if you have other people around you, you're probably too distracted. But you're more comfortable finding your niche in your worship when you're alone just with you and Him. A lot of times I can be like that. It just needs to be me and God. I don't need nobody else in the room. I just need me and you, Lord. Huh? Because I don't need nobody else to hear you when you rebuke me. Hello, somebody. I don't need nobody else to hear me when you make me cry. Does God make anybody cry, or is it just me? Am I the only crybaby? Come on, somebody. And sometimes say, God, I just need you to deal with me. Come on, somebody. So I need to clear everybody out the room. Come on, somebody. But there's some that your niche may be praying with people. You may need a prayer partner. You're stronger when somebody prays with you. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Your niche may be praying with a prayer partner, studying and having a devotion with a prayer partner. Whatever it is, find your niche in your devotion with God. Find your groove. And then also, you got to read and study the Word. To strengthen your personal devotion with God, read and study your Word. You know, some people, they try to read 5 to 10 chapters a day. And that's great, my friend. You'll read the Bible through in less than a year if you do that. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. If you're reading 5 to 10 chapters a day, but you're not grasping what you're reading, your sword is still dull. If you're reading all these chapters, 10 chapters, 15 chapters a day, but you're not grasping what the Word is saying, your sword is still dull. It is not sharp. You might have to read less, much less. And you might have to study and grasp it, grasp what you're reading. In order for you to sharpen your sword and your spirit, you might have to read less than all those chapters a day. You might get more chewing on 2 verses than trying to speed read through 10 chapters. Come on, I'm talking about you being trained in your devotion. Now, I'm not saying to neglect your 1-year Bible reading plan. But make time to study and chew on the Word of God. Make sure that you're chewing and understanding, and that when you leave from studying or reading the Word, you got a word in your spirit. You got a promise from your God. You got a revelation. You got a rhema word. God revealed something to you. Get you a promise from the Word that you can stand on. Chew on God's Word. Get you a promise from prayer. God is training us during this season in our personal devotion to Him. In our personal one-on-one devotion to Him, God is training us in that area. Matter of fact, during this season, maybe this is why God had to kind of slow down the corporate church. Because He wanted to increase your personal devotion. He had to slow down a lot of the ministries. lot of the ministries, yeah, we're still doing Zoom life groups and we're still doing different things. But a lot of things had to slow down. Maybe God is pointing us more so we can strengthen our personal devotion. And if you do that, my friend, listen, nothing's going to take you out. You're going to come out on the other side shining. You're going to come out stronger. The enemy's not going to take you out. Why? Because God is training your hands for war and your fingers for battle. The next thing God is training us in, number two, is in our families. In our families or our household, devotion to Him. God is training our families' devotion to Him. God wants to train our households, our families, for warfare. He wants our families to be fireproof. Did you hear that? See, the battle today has come to the home front. This battle that we're all in right now, we're all in this battle together. See, listen, the problem is some people don't know they're in a battle. Even in the midst of this pandemic, some, if you're not careful, you could be walking around like ain't nothing going on. You're a prime target, and you'll be the number one to be taken out. Because they don't even know a battle's taken, and they're ignoring the battle. Don't be that person that's ignoring that there's a battle, that there's a fight. See, the battle has come to the home front. And so God has had to train our whole household for war. Because to overcome, we must be united in one mind, in one accord. Jesus said that a house divided against itself shall not stand. We must partner with God in getting our household trained. How do you do this? You got to get together with your family and have family Bible study. Even if it's just you and your wife, have Bible study together. I'll have Bible study. I'll get together. I don't have, I'll have Bible studies sometimes out of the blue with my kids. I don't have to have the Bible in front of me because the Word is in my heart. We got the kids above the ground pool. I jumped in the pool with them last night. I started giving them a Bible study. I said, "Hey, can you split the water? Try to split the water." They said, "No, Dad, I can't split the water." I said, "But God did split the water. Let me tell you how He did it, son." I said, "That's the God that we serve. We serve a powerful God. We serve a powerful God." We went to the beach the other day, a couple weeks ago, I had my youngest son. He couldn't go to the deep. So I was in the shallow with him. Started giving him a Bible study. I said, "You see how powerful this ocean and these waves are? We serve a God that is more powerful than these waves and more powerful than these oceans." Have Bible study with your family. Pray together. Take communion together. Attend service together. Live out your godly principles and values before each other. Lay hands on each other. If there's a cough, you lay hands and you rebuke that cough. You start to feel a little heebie-jeebie, you lay hands and you rebuke that spirit of sickness and infirmity. I said, we got power in the name of Jesus. We still serve a God that heals. We still serve a God of miracles. If you're sick in your body right now, God will heal you right now. If you believe the word of God, if you believe He's a God that heals, God has a power to heal you. God is healing you right now. Lay hands on each other. Say, "Well, man, they're not laying hands in the church." Listen, you don't need me to lay my hands on you. Lay hands on yourself. Get your spouse to lay hands on you. Get your friend to lay hands on you. Get your sister, your brother to lay hands on you. The battle has come to the home front. Dad, you need to know how to battle. Mom, you need to know how to battle. Sister, brother, you need to know how to battle. You need to know how to make war on the floor. You need to know how to ignite your faith. You need to know how to activate your faith. That's how we're going to win this war. This is living out your godly principles and values before each other. Lay hands on each other. Challenge each other. Challenge each other to pray and to read. Encourage each other. Spouses, married couples, don't let your spouse get in a spiritual slump. Are you hearing me? If you're married, don't let your spouse get in a spiritual slump. My pastor used to always teach us. He says, you know, if you're married, you need to marry somebody who has an engine big enough to pull you out of the mud when you're stuck in the mud. Come on, somebody. I've been stuck in the mud a few times. But I thank God for a wife that knows how to pray, that knows how to worship God, that knows how to pull me out. I pulled her out a lot of times from the mud. Come on, somebody. You gotta encourage each other. Don't let each other fall into a spiritual slump. Come on, somebody. If you see your spouse downcast, you look at them and you begin to speak the word of God over them. Lift up your head, for your redemption is nigh. Quit walking around with your head down. Don't you know the God that we serve? Don't you know you're a daughter of the King? You're a son of the King? Don't you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Encourage each other. Even if you have a roommate, don't let your roommates stay in a spiritual slump. Don't let the people that live with you stay in a spiritual slump. Hold each other accountable. You see them slacking in prayer, hold them accountable. I see you missed prayer this morning. Come on, somebody. I see you ain't been in your word for a while. Come on, let's get in the word together. Come on, we're going to get through this together. Come on, no man left behind. No soul left behind. Encourage each other. Hold each other accountable in prayer, in the word, and in giving your tithes and offerings. Say, no, no, no. Have you tithing? Have you been tithing? Have you been giving? Don't put yourself under a curse. You can't afford not to give. When they say, I can't afford to give, you tell them, you can't afford not to give. Come on, somebody. Challenge each other. You see somebody missing in church, you challenge them. Say, oh, I was watching online. No, you weren't, because I was online too and I didn't see you. Because it says your name. Somebody such and such is watching with you. And I didn't see your name. I didn't see your like. If you say you're watching online, you need to push the like button and the share button. That way we know you're in attendance. Where you been? We ain't seen your chair. Oh, I've been watching online. Lie, you lie, you fry. Come on, somebody. You know that in 1984, Evangelist Dick Mills, he prophesied that there would be a time that Christians would worship close to home. It was a prophecy. The evangelist Dick Mills, he's the person who gave us the prophecy and the promised verses for Victory Outreach International. He gave Pastor Sonny Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, at a time where Victory Outreach was barely starting, and Pastor Sonny wanted to give up and throw in the towel. And he gave Pastor Sonny these verses, Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. He says that I will give you the treasures out of darkness, hidden riches stored in secret places. And look what the Lord has done. That's exactly what God has done. He has given Victory Outreach International the treasures out of darkness. I am a treasure out of darkness. I am looking at treasures out of darkness. That is a promise fulfilled. What is a treasure out of darkness? A treasure out of darkness is a man that used to be in a lifestyle of darkness, but God pulled him out of that darkness and brought him into his marvelous light. I used to be in a dark mentality. I was a gang member and a drug addict and a drug dealer. I was in prison, but God took me out of that dark prison. prison cell, and he brought me to the light of Jesus Christ. That promise has come to pass. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 is another promise he gave through evangelist Dick Mills. He says, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the left and to the right, and your descendants will inhabit the desolate cities of the world. That is a promise of growth. I'm saying all this to say this. These are the promises. These are prophecies that were given through evangelist Dick Mills to us as a ministry, and they came to pass. And this prophecy that he gave in 1984, he said that there would be a time that Christians would worship close to home. And that's what's taking place today. So many are watching and worshiping God at home, and that's all right. But make sure that you are worshiping at home. See, if you want God's promise to come to pass for your family, stand on his word as a family. And don't be moved from that promise. God is training our families. He wants our families to be devoted to him, to be loyal to him, to love him, to be excited for him. Oh, it is every Christian parent's desire for them to have a family that's excited to serve the Lord. Does anybody want that for their children? For their husband, for their wife, for their whole household? See, this is a time where we must pray. We must pray and we must do our best, and even more so, and have more of an effort to reach our unsaved family members. Our unsaved family that doesn't know God. This is a time for even more so that we pray for them. That we pray for them and that we preach to them. And that we invite them to know the Lord. That we pray for their salvation and tell them about the Lord. Number three, our last devotion that we're going to talk about that God is training us in is our devotion to our calling. Our devotion to our calling. Jeremiah 51, verse 20 says this, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. God is training us in our devotion to our calling. To our calling. See, God uses people for his purpose. You are God's choice weapon. He says, for you are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you I will break in pieces the nations. And with you will I destroy kingdoms, the kingdoms of darkness. God uses his people for his purposes. You are God's choice weapon. Let me tell you something. This virus hasn't changed that. This pandemic hasn't changed that. God still wants to use you even now. God is still equipping you even now for your calling and for your destiny. Everything that we go through, God uses it to shape and to mold us into what he has for us. You know what? This generation, us that are here, we're part of this generation. You must have a heavy calling upon your life. I said, you must have a heavy calling upon your life. Why do I say that? Oh, because we have been going through some trying times. I said, this year we have gone through some stuff. I can't describe a time in my lifetime. Even older people say the same thing. We've never gone through something like this. I know this. The hotter the fire, the purer the gold. Come on, somebody. The heavier the storm, huh? The better the peace. God must have a big and heavy calling on this generation for us to go through what we've gone through this year. I believe that warriors are going to come out of this pandemic. I believe that leaders are going to be forged in the fire. I believe that pastors are being raised up. I believe evangelists and missionaries are being shaped and being formed right now during this time. Why? Because we're a people that we're not quitting. We're a people that we've gone through the fire. Oh, but we're sticking it out. We're allowing the Lord to train our hands and our fingers for battle. Why? Because God is preparing you for the calling and the purpose and the cross that He has for you. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to shape us during this season. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to shape us during this season. Allow the Holy Spirit to shape you during this season. See, so many people during this season, if they're not careful, the enemy will cause them to get bitter. Because why do we got to go through this? Why do we got to go through this? Why can't we just, you know, live normal right now and, you know, why can't we go on vacation and why can't we do this and why can't we go to the movies and why can't? Because God is shaping you. God is taking us through the fire. And we must guard our heart from getting bitter. Got to guard our heart from getting bitter during this time. If we can guard our heart from getting bitter, then God will make us better. God will make us better during the season. I don't know about you, but I want to come out better than what I came in. And that's what God is doing during this time. I want you to know that your calling was not put on pause because of this pandemic. Your calling wasn't put on pause because of this virus. Don't you dare let the devil put your calling on pause, because that's what he's done to some people. During this pandemic, he's caused them to hit the pause button. He's caused them to hit the stop button. I don't know about you, but we sing that song, "Nothing's Gonna Stop My Praise." But maybe we should sing, "Nothing's Gonna Stop My Calling. Nothing's Gonna Stop My Purpose. Nothing's Gonna Stop Me From What God Has For Me." You can't let the enemy, you can't let this virus, you can't let this pandemic stop what God has for you. No. You allow this to accelerate you into that calling. You allow this to propel you into the future that God has for you. You got to stay devoted to your calling. You got to stay loyal to your calling. Listen, I wouldn't have got here. I wouldn't have got to where I'm at today. And not that I have arrived. I have not arrived. I am far from arriving. But I wasn't always a pastor. I come from prison, my friend. I was locked up for 2 years before I came to Victory Outreach. I was running the streets of Oak Cliff, running amok. That's Pastor Josh's word. He steals my words, so I get some of his words sometimes. I was running the streets. I was lost. I was a dope dealer. But God saved me. And then he put a calling on my life. That calling didn't happen automatic. I had to put some work into it. I had to put some faith into it. I had to put a lot of study of God's word into it. I had to put some effort into it. I had to put some discipleship in my life. I needed to put a leader over my life. I needed to be trained. And that didn't happen just by happenstance. It happened by intention. It was intentional. Your calling, your devotion has to be intentional. You got to be intentional in pursuing after God. You got to be intentional in your devotion to get your breakthrough with God. You got to be intentional in leading your family to God. Get my notes. Those are good notes, man. I don't need to leave that message. It's my calling right there. You got to be intentional in your calling. It's not just going to happen. This is why coming and learning about the Word of God is so important. You got to be intentional. Growth is just not going to take place by itself, automatic. No, my friend, you got to put effort into it. Faith without works is dead. God is training us in these three areas. In our personal devotion to Him, in our family devotion to Him, and in our calling, in our devotion to our calling. Are you still devoted to your calling? Or did you forget about your calling? Did you forget about that promise God gave you at the UTC? Did you forget about that promise God gave you in the men's home? Did you forget about that God called you to be a preacher? Did you forget that God called you to take a city? Don't forget that God has called you. Huh? Be devoted. Be loyal. Be excited about your calling. And this will cause you to stick it out. And we'll make it through this. And we'll make it through other things. And we'll continue to take the world for Jesus. We'll continue to fulfill the vision that God has given our ministry and our church and our founders and us as a people. We'll continue that because we're devoted and we have been trained by the Holy Spirit. We've been trained in the school of the Holy Ghost. I can feel the presence of God right now. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I hope this word stirs you up. God has a plan for your life, man. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, for your family, for your children, for your life. And it's a great plan. God wants to use you in a mighty way to make disciples of all people, of all nations. God wants to send you to the othermost parts of the world. God's going to raise up missionaries in this place. You're going to travel over the world, and you're going to go and do crusades, and you're going to go win people for Jesus in other parts of the world, in other parts of the country. God wants to use you to be His traveling evangelist. There's pastors that are listening to me right now. You're not a pastor right now, but God has a calling upon your life to take a city one day. And you're going to make an impact. You're going to be doing what I'm doing. Being radical for Jesus. Being radical for Jesus. You got to be radical for the Lord. But you got to stay devoted. You got to stay loyal. You got to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You got to love the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet right there where you're at. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let the Lord train your hands. Let Him train your fingers for battle. Make war through your worship. Make war through your worship. Come on, I know it's hot, but this is war right here. Guess what? In war, you sweat. Huh? You sweat. The warrior that doesn't want to sweat, it's not a warrior I want to stand next to. Make war right now. You worship God. You love God. Stay devoted to God. Lift your hands right there where you're at. Worship Him. Worship Him.
I will answer the call.